This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Thanks for joining us. According to the latest survey data, the number of teens who say they've used e-cigarettes or vaped has increased considerably over the past year. Data from the National Youth Tobacco Survey from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found 28% of high school students reported using nicotine e-cigarettes in the past 30 days. That's up from just over 20% in 2018. And for middle schoolers, that rate more than doubled from 5% in 2018 to 11% in 2019. Researchers say the popularity of e-cigarettes shaped like USB flash drives and containing flavors like bubblegum or peppermint have contributed to these increases, and health officials warn that nicotine exposure during adolescence can harm the developing brain, which continues to develop until about age 25. But it's not just nicotine that teens are vaping, but also products containing THC. On today's show, we're going to learn about education and prevention efforts in Collier County Public Schools. I'm joined in studio by Dr. Peggy Ani. She's Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction. Dr. Ani, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, and thank you for addressing this important topic. We appreciate it.
We are happy to. Chad Oliver is the district's Executive Director of Communications and Community Engagement. Chad, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Good to see you.
And Sergeant Tiffany Castle is in the Youth Relations Bureau at the Collier County Sheriff's Office. Sergeant Castle, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
If you would like to engage with us and other listeners, you can do so via social media, especially if you know of any teens who have started vaping. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Ani, do you remember when you first became aware of teens using these e-cigarettes? Is this a fairly recent development?
Really, about 2 years ago, our level of awareness really escalated, and concerns were there not only here but nationally. Really, the national landscape, not only for adults vaping or using e-cigarettes, but our teens, our young people experimenting with these things. So I would say it was about 2 years ago where our concerns were really heightened in this area.
Was it nicotine at first, or was it both marijuana and nicotine all of a sudden?
I think it was really what substances were being used and what was available, learning about that. As Sergeant Castle may share at some point, it's been really a little bit of the unknown of what young people, what adults are ingesting, and it's readily available, whether online or in stores or passed from one person to another. So really, I think nicotine was probably on the forefront, but other substances quickly came into play as being very much a concern.
Do you have an idea of how common vaping is in Collier County Public Schools? I think you have the numbers there, Chad, I believe.
Well, we're looking at the numbers on a year-by-year basis, Mike, and I can tell you, when we look at the statewide level, specifically high school students, Collier County Public Schools, we're not just Collier County Public Schools, but Collier County in general, of those who were surveyed, we rank 29th.
Okay, out of 67, or I guess there's not quite 67 counties in the data.
Exactly. And so that question specifically to high school students, have you ever used vaping products? Collier County students answered in the survey, around 40% say they have ever used. Now, when that question's posed in the same survey, again, Department of Health administers this, 28% of Collier County high school students admitted to currently using a vaping product just within the last month. That puts Collier 22nd in the state.
So even at a quarter using it in the last month, or 40% using it sometime, that still puts you in the middle of the states.
Yeah, right.
In other words, that, because those are really high numbers, and that's not even at the top of the list.
And I know for us, Dr. Ani and Sergeant Castle, it doesn't really matter in a sense where we rank. We know it's a serious issue, and it's not just a sheriff's office issue or a school district issue. Every person listening right now in your show has a stake in this. This is a community-wide issue.
Do we have a sense of if more boys than girls are vaping? Is it about the same, or do we even really know that for sure?
I would say it's probably about the same. We have a lot of girls and boys both who have been cited for vaping.
And middle schoolers too, I understand?
Sometimes it's middle school.
No elementary school, I hope.
Sometimes.
Wow. Okay. We hear a lot about these Juul brand e-cigarettes. Is that what is mostly being found on students, or is there also a spectrum of that?
Well, the Juul brand is a catchy name brand, much like someone may drink Coke, but they actually prefer Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids will say they're Juuling or they're vaping, but often it's whatever knockoff brand they could get.
It's become the Xerox of e-cigarettes.
It has, yes.
Do we have a sense of where they're getting them? are they, can they buy them on the internet without trouble? Do they, is there a black market in schools where kids are selling them to each other?
Well, a lot of the students are buying them on the internet. Some of the students are stealing them from family members or taking them willingly from family members. And we do have some kids who have realized it's a niche market, and they're distributing them in schools.
Schools are nicotine-free, right? So teachers can't vape. It's not like this is something only the students can't do. Nobody can use these things on campus.
Absolutely. Schools are completely tobacco-free and no devices at all on campus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the ways that you guys are reaching out to students. I know, you know, Chad, you sent me over some information. I watched that PSA on the website that Sergeant Castle's in. Talk some about the different ways you're trying to get to students and maybe what you're finding or what you think is most successful or most effective.
Mike, when we look at messaging around vaping, I think you have to look at it almost similar to the way we look at security on campuses, layers of security. We're talking about layers of communication. You know, I recognize in our Office of Communications, not one method is going to reach all students. Not one method is going to reach all stakeholders, parents, community members. And so my thought goes back to almost, Dr. Rani, a year ago when I joined you all at CCPS,
yes.
One of my first meetings was with our Director of Student Relations. And we were talking about issues of discipline among all of our 50-plus campuses. And one of the top issues we talked about that day, right next to school threats, was the issue of vaping. Chad, what are we going to do to get on top of it? We saw in 2017, Collier County Public Schools already getting out in front before it really was labeled as an epidemic. That messaging started 2 years ago, and then it really got amped up about a year ago. I would say the beginning of the last school year, where you started having at principals' meetings, awareness videos were shown that Dr. Ani was a part of. And then we rolled out a campaign that involved not just messaging to principals, but to parents via emails from Dr. Patton, our superintendent, that went out to our entire community. Here are some things to watch for. Here are examples of vapes. And then we peeled off another layer where we had a social media campaign that continues to today around everything you want to know about vaping. Leading up to Halloween a few weeks ago, we did a really intensive scary stats about vaping, just things people don't understand. A couple of months ago, there was a meeting that I sat in on between Sheriff Kevin Rambos, Superintendent Patton, and the CEO of the David Lawrence Center, Scott Burgess. And in that conversation, which covered a lot of different topics, vaping came up, and the question was asked, what can we as a community do to get on top of that? And out of that one meeting at our Martin Luther King Jr. Administrative Center came the campaign at football games.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully some in your audience attended a Collier County football game on Friday night and heard some of the PSAs. Mike, we're talking 15-second audio spots that were played in between quarters from familiar voices, Dr. Patton, Sheriff Rambos, Scott Burgess, little bits of messaging. And then when everyone arrived onto the campus for the games, they would see yard signs that we placed, anti-vaping yard signs, again, with nuggets of knowledge. Again, just that's
just constant. Creating a background noise of messaging.
And those yard signs are now up not only at high schools, but elementary and middle schools too.
When it comes to social media outreach, are you aiming at parents or are you also going where the students are? Because I know they're not necessarily on Facebook. But,
and at the district level, we're mostly focused on Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. which we know parents dominate those platforms. I mean, it's an older audience, but that's probably the problem. You know, people listening right now, I really hope they take it seriously because what started this trend several years ago, I remember when I first became exposed to e-cigarettes, this idea that, oh, if you're a smoker of traditional cigarettes, this is a great way to curb the habit. Right.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
You know, it might seem like it's not as serious to kids if that they heard that.
And I know Dr. Ani can speak to the harmful effects when young people, we're talking, this is the message everyone needs to know. Using vaping products is harmful for the developing brain because up until, is it age 25?
Yes, absolutely. So some of the things, too, that came to mind as you were sharing, Chad, about the communication efforts, it's really about education. So we have had a really robust health education curriculum for a number of years, and that starts in elementary school. We have an incredibly strong partnership with the Collier County Sheriff's Office. And what many people know as DARE, mm-hmm. is for fifth graders and even younger, we have some efforts, is now LEAD. And we really talk and partner with the Sheriff's Department around the dangers of substance use, responsible decision making, negative peer influences. In middle school, that goes into human growth and development. And as Chad shared, it's not only the developing brain we're concerned about, but some of the incredibly harmful effects to the body that we want to make sure students are aware of. And then we know that students are sharing this information with their families. So it has a whole ripple effect of really education. On into high school, we have a course called Health Opportunities Through Physical Education. And we've incorporated information on anti-vaping and other really relevant current topics into these courses so that we're staying current for students and helping them to understand what the landscape is and also the dangers. If I may, a little bit around social-emotional learning.
Sure.
We're really building and helping students to build self-efficacy, mm-hmm. sense of belonging, and confidence to where when they're encountered with difficult decisions, maybe a peer that wants to offer them something or send them down a wrong road, they're going to have that strength of character and self to really make a better decision. So we've had a really strong focus around social-emotional learning and also mental health and wellness and helping teachers, helping administrators, helping parents to grow those skills in students. It's really about being life ready.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned DARE became LEAD. What does LEAD stand for?
LEAD is something the Sheriff's Office at Collier County has moved to. It's Law Enforcement Against Drugs.
Okay.
And it's a drug education program, or drug prevention program, rather, that is similar in ways to DARE. However, the LEAD program focuses more on the socio-emotional learning and is a lot more interactive with the students.
Huh.
We started teaching LEAD last year, and it has specific for the fifth graders vaping components. And we started doing that from the Sheriff's Office, and at the fourth grade level, we do a junior deputy program that's got a tobacco and vaping component as well.
Okay. Presumably, school districts all across the country are dealing with this issue. Has there been anything that has risen up in terms of communication across districts, across states, and things like that? It seems like this is somebody's – everybody's fighting this fight. So is there strategies that are emerging that you're learning instead of inventing?
Absolutely. It's really coming together. It's, as you point out, it's a national issue and one certainly we're dealing with across statewide. So we work with colleagues in different areas, such as in health and physical education. What strategies are you using? How to combat this? What are ways that we can share efforts versus every community kind of reinventing the wheel? So it's really looking at national campaigns, looking at our state resources, such as the Florida Department of Education. The state health department has been very helpful with materials, but we've also developed our own materials within the district to really, as students are walking down the hallways at school, we call that the informal curriculum.
Right.
So you see something in the clinic or a restroom or in the hallway, it gives some of the dangers of vaping that Chad shared, and it's those little snippets of information. We consider it digestible bites. And students really hoping to internalize that and make smart decisions. It's really about smart decision making.
How have students responded to this messaging? Do they seem receptive? Do they seem resistant? I mean, high school students are probably still high school students, so it seems like they probably want to do what they want to do.
I know for students that we've encountered that are vaping at school, we'll say to them, don't you know what the consequences are? Don't you know what this will do? And they say yes. Mm. They just want to do it anyway.
What are the consequences? What happens if somebody is caught vaping? We'll start with nicotine.
The law enforcement consequences of nicotine would be a tobacco citation.
Okay.
And there are a lot of school consequences as well.
Such as?
You want us to talk about nicotine vapes or THC?
Yeah, let's start with nicotine, then we'll move on to THC.
Okay, so from the school district's perspective, nicotine may lead to suspension, athletic suspension, or removal from a team, alternatively placed to a different school. You know, you love your school campus, you're familiar with your teachers and staff and your colleagues, your friends. Well, if you get busted with a nicotine vape, you could be placed at a different school, an alternative school. And you could receive a tobacco citation and fine, like Sergeant Castle mentioned.
And then when it comes to the THC vape pens, let's start with the school and then back over to law enforcement.
Consequences may lead to suspension, removal from activities, athletics. You're nearing graduation. that can be one of the consequences. You're not able, imagine that, K through 12, you go work all those long years, and then the shining moment to walk across that stage is taken away because you made the choice to bring that to campus. Alternatively, placed to a different school, arrested, if it's got THC in it, that could lead to a felony arrest and a felony conviction.
Does that happen? Is that a threat, or is that something that kids have faced?
If the vape has THC, it's a felony, and there's no negotiation with felonies. With misdemeanors, we can negotiate civil citation. We can possibly do a warning. We cannot do any of that stuff with a felony when the THC is in it.
Hmm. Dr. Ani, has the recent news about people getting sick and in some cases even dying made it into the messaging or made it into the consciousness of the students? Because this has turned into a different kind of national story in the past few months.
It certainly has. There, as we see in the headlines, tragic consequences or severe just health issues for many young people that have been involved with this. So, yes, we are considering some of that information to be shared with, especially with our older students, and we're working to potentially incorporate that into some of our messaging, working with the sheriff's office. We actually have a work group around this issue to ensure that our content and our curriculum is very relevant and timely and also is engaging where students are seeing that could be me. So we want to make sure. I do want to point out, too, though, that we also look at the therapeutic component, recognizing that a student may want to stop. It may be an addiction issue at this point. Mm-hmm. So we're working closely. David Lawrence Center is a great partner of the district, of the sheriff's office, that we want to ensure that families and young people have resources that if they need additional assistance or community support for this very serious issue, that's made available as well.
If you're just joining the show today, we're talking about teens and vaping and what steps the school district of Collier County is taking to try and educate teens and hopefully prevent them from starting. My guests are Dr. Peggy Ani. She's Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction. Chad Oliver, he's the district's Executive Director of Communications and Community Engagement. And Sergeant Tiffany Castle, she's in the Youth Relations Bureau at the Collier County Sheriff's Office. She works with teens in schools. This segment is not live, so we're not taking calls, but if you'd like to weigh in, find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So, Sergeant Castle, tell us about this Youth Relations Bureau, what you do, what it does, how long it's been around. If you don't know how long it's been around, that's okay.
We've been around since the 70s.
Oh, you do know. Okay.
I do know that. I don't know exactly when, but we've been around since the 70s. And we have a deputy in every school.
Are these the school resource officers?
Yes.
Okay.
The school resource officers, we have one in every school, and that was a state mandate post-Parkland. So every high school has two deputies, and the middles and elementaries have one deputy who's at the school full-time from the time the students arrive until they go home at the end of the day.
And then you said you're a supervisor, so you're going around to all the different schools. Do you work directly with students, or are you working with the SROs and directing their efforts?
Both. I have 11 schools that I supervise. And I like to teach lead, so I go into the lead classroom, the classroom, and teach lead, and I like to do junior deputies as well. I enjoy my time with the students, so I do go in on a regular basis and teach.
Do you remember when you first saw this vaping issue arise? Have you been around long enough to see the it wasn't there and then it was there?
Yes, and Dr. Ani was correct. It was about 2 years ago we started seeing it in the schools, because I've been in Collier County Public Schools as a SRO for, I think this is my 8th year. And it wasn't a problem before.
It's interesting because e-cigarettes, if I'm not mistaken, have been around for about a decade. And I don't know if they just got more useful. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Something happened about
marketing.
2 years ago. The marketing.
I mean, think
well,
about
and Juul
it.
Didn't exist until about 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
These
also.
Big companies going after our young people with flavoring. I mean, Sergeant Castle said we were talking about how to detect these things. And she said, oh, yeah, you walk past someone, it smells like they're chewing bubble gum. Could be a vape,
right?
Depending on the flavoring they have in the pod.
You know, we're hearing efforts to ban these because of the flavors, that is, because of the youth factor. Is that what you're finding kids using, or are kids not necessarily using flavored vape pens?
Kids wouldn't use it if it wasn't flavored.
They, oh, really?
They
okay.
like
that's
the flavors.
That's the answer that I was wondering.
I believe that to be true.
Okay. They're really hard to detect. You know, it used to be if you smoked a cigarette in the bathroom, everybody knew somebody smoked a cigarette in the bathroom, and it probably clung to you, so they knew you did it when you were walking down the hallway. These e-cigarettes, other than maybe the bubble gum or the pineapple flavor, they don't do that. That must make it just exponentially harder to combat than smoking cigarettes.
It does. And as a law enforcement officer, we're not necessarily wanting the kids to go to jail when we take them to jail. We want to stop the kids from doing things that are damaging. So when we're lucky, kids will tell us. Sometimes we'll wander upon kids and find them vaping. But the bottom line is it's not healthy. It's an expensive habit, but it's really not healthy.
Tell me about these hidden in plain sight mobile exhibits. It sounds like it has somewhat to do with this fact that they are hard to detect. Is that right?
In part. We've been doing the hidden in plain sight exhibit, I think, for 5 years. And about 2 years ago, we brought vapes into it as well. And it's essentially a mobile bedroom. It's a teenager's bedroom. It's very non-gender. So there's some girl stuff and some guy stuff. And when the parents go through my exhibit, they can see things that might seem like one thing and be something else. There's not that things are buried underneath the mattress. It's more like the can of water isn't really a bottle of water. It's the vapes look like USBs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things the parents don't identify because that's just not part of what they're doing every day. The kids are using stuff that appear to be normal things, whether it's lipstick, whether it is a vape pen that looks like a USB. Just a lot of things that appear to be one thing and are actually something else.
Is there such a thing as a technology that could detect vape in the air, like the, like a sensor? I'm just kind of making that up, but it seems like...
I think the technology is definitely emerging for that. I'm not sure of its current application.
I can tell you this. We're looking at various ways to get on top of this. And if it's technology that can detect it, that's certainly one option. But yes, there are companies out there that are looking to profit off how to stop this,
right?
Because it is such a big issue. To piggyback on the conversation here, I think just starting the conversation is important. You know, when we discuss ways to detect, the kids and the companies are always going to come out with interesting new products. But just for adults in our community to have that conversation of, hey, are you vaping? Do you know anyone that is? Have you seen these products? Do you know what's in those? You know, you may not, but does your friend, I know your friend does it, does he or she really know what they're putting in their body? Mike, that's so important to engage all of our community. It's not enough for our campuses to be vape-free zones and then the kids just go down to the pier and do it or go to a parking lot. We want the community to really understand how important this issue is.
Do you guys have any other campaigns that you're working toward that haven't been released yet?
So you will hear the audio PSAs at other athletic events besides just football games. So in the spring, you know, it'll get rolled out to other events where you have large people, large groups gathered. And that's the thinking is you have a captive audience at a basketball game, for example, where you can play 15-second audio messages from the sheriff or the superintendent or Scott from the David Lawrence Center. You're just, again, layering the communication.
Dr. Ani, is this a top priority when it comes to students? Is it possible to say that?
The safety and health and well-being of our students is always a top priority, and we really need to remain completely current on what's happening in society and across nationally, state, and locally. So yes, we are refreshing and invigorating curriculum to address this with students, but I think it does go to that conversation piece. Having all of this information will hopefully start a conversation in homes, in the community, to say, how can we help? What should we look for? But also at the heart of this is for students to feel a sense of belonging, confidence, that they can make good decisions. Because we don't, all of us here today having this conversation, don't know what's on the landscape next, on the horizon, that could be of danger to young people, to adults. It's really, how do we make good decisions? How do we help students to know? And how do we move forward from here? So yes, it's definitely a priority to incorporate in our health curriculum.
Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guests. Dr. Peggy Ani is Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction at Collier County Public Schools. Dr. Ani, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to be here.
Thank you. Glad to be part of the conversation.
Chad Oliver is the district's Executive Director of Communications and Community Engagement. Chad, thanks for helping put all this together.
You're welcome.
And Sergeant Tiffany Castle is in the Youth Relations Bureau at the Collier County Sheriff's Office. Sergeant Castle, thanks to you as well.
You're welcome.
You can find links to more information and the Collier County Public Schools vaping PSA video on our website, gulfcoastlive.org. If you missed part of today's show, you can always hear full episodes on our website, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Kenirie. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.